Well, there's a tremendous contrast between chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Nehemiah. In chapter 4, the building of the walls is going to plan, not without difficulty, because the enemy were there. And of course, the enemy meant that they had to be prepared for an attack. And if you remember, some of them were working with their sword in one hand and their trowel in the other hand. But there was a good spirit. And they said, our God will fight for us. And they said again, God will be with us. They were experiencing a difficulty, but it was without. But now we come to the summary of chapter 4. Having done that, we come to the chapter 5, where there were external problems that had come in the previous chapter, but now there's internal distress. There's a great outcry we read in verse 1. And the reason is this, really. There's a famine. And we read about that in verse 3. And as a result of the lack of food, things were happening. Many people who didn't own land were starving. Some people had to mortgage their land and their property to get food. Other people had to borrow money to pay the taxes that they owed, and some people had even sold their children into slavery. Things had got into a bad, bad state because of the famine and because of the way that some people who were rather poor were being treated, and because of the debts that were mounting up, and because of the harshness of the noblemen and the officials who were taking some of this money from some of their own people. And so when Nehemiah heard all of this, he was not happy. In fact, we're told he was very, very angry. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very, very angry. I wonder why he was. Well, maybe there are lots of reasons. I guess probably, first of all, his concern was for those people who were poor and hungry and in debt. He was angry that this situation had arisen. But he also knew this, that the people who were extracting some of this money were being extremely selfish, and he wasn't happy with the way that they were handling things. But probably most of all, he was thinking, how can the wall be built? And how can we make progress with this great project as long as there are all these problems with the people and the lack of food and the lack of, and then the great debts they were coming in? So you can understand why he was angry. And probably if it was one of us, we'd have burst into the situation with every gun blazing and really got angry about things. But he didn't. I pondered them in my mind. So he stopped and he thought, what shall I do? Probably one of the best bits of advice we could ever be given if we get angry about something. He stopped, he pondered, he thought carefully. And then he got the noblemen and the officials together and he challenged them. You're exacting interest or usury from your own countrymen. So I called a large meeting. And he was going to deal with this meeting publicly. And in that way, he challenged them for what they were doing. And in verse number 8, it says they kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. They knew that they were in the wrong. And because of that, they decided they'd better keep quiet for what they had been doing as a result of that. So his challenge was this. First of all, he wanted them, and this is what he said as we come to this, in verse 9, should you walk in the fear of God? Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God? One of the things that I think Christians have to learn is whatever situation we come into, we deal with it in the fear of God, in reverence to God, out of respect to God. We recognize that God knows everything. He understands every situation. And our position is that we must deal with that with a fear of God. That obviously was far from their thoughts at this time. Obviously, they weren't thinking about anybody else than themselves, particularly those who were taking all this money and getting all these taxes and all these charging big interest. They weren't thinking about God. They had lost the sense that God was part of their life. And how important that is for us to recognize, whatever we do, we must always walk in the fear of the Lord, obeying the word of God. There were very distinct rules back in the Deuteronomy and in Leviticus and in Exodus about how they were to deal with these sort of situations. And they weren't to take a lot of interest from their fellow brothers and sisters. And they were to have a thought for the poor. And they weren't to take their lands away as payment for anything that they, for any debt that they had. None of these things should have been happening. They had ignored the word of God. They had not walked in the fear of God. But then he has another point that he wants to make very clearly. And again, you find that in verse 9. To avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies. When the people round about saw how these folks were behaving, they had every right to criticize. You say that you love your God and you do all these things that are supposed to be so, yet look at the way you're behaving. Look at the debts that people have because of your injustices. Look at the way that you're treating people almost into slavery. And this would have had a very bad effect on the people who were round about, those who weren't part of their nation, the Gentiles who were outside of their nation. Isn't that important? So, so important. That what we do as individuals and what we do very definitely as a that because of what they take knowledge of what's happening, then it could have a detrimental effect on our testimony and our work. I suppose a little example would be this. If the whole church met today and we had no social distancing and we didn't wear masks and we sang our hearts out and we just carried on as normal, people round about would think, what a terrible place that is. No doubt there's going to be virus spreading from that place because they're just not doing what they should be doing. And everybody would be right in making that sort of criticism, wouldn't they? What we do has to have a testimony that brings glory to God and helps people to understand that our desire is always to live for God and to do the right thing. And that was what they were not doing. To put some of your brothers and sisters, the daughters and sons of your brothers and sisters, into slavery was the last thing they should have been doing. They should have had love to your fellow men. And instead of putting people into slavery, try and help release them. It appears, if you read between the lines, that some of them had put their brothers and sisters' children into slavery, that Nehemiah somehow or other had paid for them to get free, and they put them back in there again. There seemed to be a lot going on there that we can't all quite understand because the Hebrew is not very easy to translate. But it wasn't a good situation at all. And they were not showing love to their fellow men. My sister lives in Glasgow. And when we were up there one Christmas, we went down the road and there was a big church. And it had a very distinctive notice outside the church. And it said this: come in to love God, go out to love your fellow men. And when you think about it, that is a very wonderful summary of what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And these people had not got the love for God that they should have done, and they certainly didn't have their love for their fellow men. Some of you will know the name of Martin Luther King. And Martin Luther King got the Nobel Prize one time for peace, for what he had done and for some of the great speeches he'd made and some of the things that he'd done in demonstrations in the United States because of the problems there, racial problems.
When he was on his way to Sweden to get the Nobel Prize, he came to England and he preached in St. Paul's Cathedral, apparently. And he said this: it is absolutely vital that people today get the vertical position relationship right, a relationship with God. But equally, it is also important that they have that that horizontal relationship with their fellow men. They show love to their fellow men. And that's exactly what was missing in the days of Nehemiah, and I guess is missing in our world today, because so many people don't have any relationship with God, and consequently their relationship with their fellow men is not as what it should be. Stop taking interest, said Nehemiah. From this point onwards, he said, stop taking the interest. Give back to them their fields, their vineyards, their olive groves, their houses, and all the interest that you've been taking. Return it. Give it back immediately. And they said, we will give it back. And we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say. As I read that, my mind went to the New Testament, and you remember Zacchaeus, and the Lord Jesus met with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus obviously realized that he was guilty of taking taxes that he shouldn't have done, and adding more to the taxes than should have done, and that he had to go back and give back to the poor what he had taken from them that he shouldn't have done, and that he had to make amends for all that he had done that was wrong. And that's what these people had to do. We'll give it back. That was a very important thing to be able to do, isn't it? There are times, and I'm quite sure all of us have been there, when we have done things that we didn't want to do, but we did them, and we knew that we shouldn't have done them, and we are sorry for them, and we've perhaps, as in the other story that I told to the children, we've sought forgiveness, but sometimes action is needed, isn't it, to give back what we have taken that we shouldn't have done, whatever it may be, even if it's words, to take them back, as it were, even if it's some sort of action that we've done, to take it back. That's what they had to do, and they promised to act as they had been challenged, which was a really important part. So just very quickly, to make sure that this has happened, Nehemiah said, right, okay, we'll get the priests in, and you can make a vow in front of the priests. So that this isn't just words that you're saying, that you're going to sort yourself out and stop doing what you've been doing and give back what you've taken that you shouldn't have done. You're going to do it before God, in front of the priests, to make this very important vow. But more than that, he said, look, I'm just going to show you, if you don't do this, and this is what Alan read to us, he took his cloak, and he shook out the folds of his robe and said, in this way may God shake out of his house and possessions every man who does not keep this promise. You've made a promise, you've said it before God, and you've got to keep it, otherwise God will get rid of you. It was as simple as that. It's a very challenging thought for our way of life, isn't it? To have a care for other people when we do things that we shouldn't have done, to sort it out, and to do that in the sight of God. We sometimes perhaps don't go into the state that the Catholic Church would do in confession and so on. But in a sense, there is an important part of our failures to confess them to the Lord. And John says this in his epistle, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But sometimes that involves direct action, put things right. But as a result of that, the whole assembly said, amen. And they praised the Lord. And here's a little word here. And the people did as they promised. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? The people just did what they had promised. God is always looking to folks to do what they have promised to do. And as a result of that, all the disturbance, the division, the difficulties that people were facing. We started with a really sad situation at the beginning of the chapter. Now the people are saying, amen, praise the Lord. And everybody was happy because of what had happened. There's a bit of an interlude there, and nobody's quite sure why it was that Nehemiah suddenly goes down this line, but he suddenly seems to summarize his time. And I thought we'd finish with these five key things that emphasize this particular man. There's no doubt about it. He was devoted to the service of God. He says, out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. He was determined to do in his life what God wanted him to do. And that's so important, isn't it? To recognize that God has a plan for each one of us, and we must seek to do his will. As we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, we can know his will, and we should seek to do it. That's being devoted to what God wants us to do in our lives. But for Nehemiah, there was something else. He was prepared to contrast the problems courageously. I'm not sure I would have had the courage, the strength, the determination to stand in a public meeting and challenge the people who were doing wrong, but he did. And I suppose the commentators all make this very important point. It's so easy, if there's a problem in the church or a problem in your life, to brush it under the carpet and say, well, maybe it'll go away. Problems don't go away like that, do they? And Nehemiah hit it straight on. He went and dealt with a problem that was there because he knew that if it wasn't dealt with, his war wasn't going to get completed. There was going to be such a low morale that people were more worried about feeding their families than in any way building the wall. So there was a preparedness to confront problems courageously. He ensured his own integrity was evident. Nehemiah, if you read carefully, probably had been charging interest as well. And Nehemiah could have, as the governor, have demanded that the people pay taxes so that he could live in luxury. But he says, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. He was determined to practice what he preached. He was determined to do what he felt was right. Not just to tell people to do it and then live the life of Riley. He wasn't prepared to do that. He said, no, I'm going to do what I believe is right for the people and it's therefore right for me. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do it as best as I can. He was sure that his integrity was there. And people can't look at that and say, oh, Nehemiah, he said this, but he did this. He wasn't two-faced. He wasn't hypocritical. He wasn't in any way not straightforward. That's a very important thing, isn't it? He acted with love and kindness to all. Instead of getting a lot of food for himself and for those immediately close to him, and instead of taking the taxes that he could have done legally, instead of that, he had this great big party, and there were so many who ate at his table. And it looks as though this went on for some time, because the demand was heavy on these people, so he fed many of them. He did his utmost to live out not only a love for God, but a love for his fellow men. And that involved something very practical, and it was certainly this, to feed these people. When James is writing his epistle, he talks about somebody coming into the church and everybody saying, well, you look hungry, off you go. And James is really saying, if you see somebody who's hungry, feed him. Don't tell him to go and find some food somewhere else. And Nehemiah wasn't prepared to do that. He acted with love and kindness to all. And he comes to the end of this very important chapter. And he says, remember me with favor, O God, for all I have done for these people. It's difficult to know exactly what he's got in his mind. But the important thing is this, as you well know, I'm quite sure, Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And in this difficult situation, he's dealt with it in the way that he feels is right before God. And he asks that God will just help him. Remember me with favor, O God, for all I have done for these people. Be there in this situation. Help me day by day in all that I'm doing. If there are challenges that come from this chapter, I think they're probably summarized in those words. It's important for every single one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus to be devoted to the service of God. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work of the law, work on the wall, verse 16. And there's no doubt about it, Nehemiah did not walk along the wall cracking the whip, literally, for some of the workers. I think he rolled up his sleeves and he got involved himself. He was devoted to the work of God. I'm quite sure he was prepared to face problems, and he did face problems, not just this one, but others as well. In the next chapter, you'll see that when you come to looking at chapter 6. He ensured that whatever he did, his integrity was so important. Everybody could see what he did before God. He did make mistakes. He had made mistakes. He was prepared to admit that, but his integrity was ensured. He acted with love and kindness to all, and he continued his prayer life. This morning, we have come here, or those who are listening elsewhere, we've come to love God, to show our love and our devotion to our God for all that he has done for us. But may we go out and show love to our fellow men. There's always somebody in need who wants help. And that's perhaps one of the things that lockdown and the virus has brought to us. There are people around us who we can befriend, who need our help. And by God's grace, we can help them. And that speaks of our work and our service for God.